Hi, Ryan. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Hello, Tim. It's my pleasure.
So, most people know Waterworks slash Lamson as a real company, but I know you guys actually started out in other industries like bikes, and I think you guys invented the first clipless pedal system and one of the first suspension systems in the head tube of a bike. Can you just give us a kind of a quick background on that?
Right. We are C1 Design Group, and we do business in fly fishing as the Waterworks Lamson. And as C1 Design Group, we have our roots in mountain biking, right? Back in the 80s, we developed a clipless pedal system before Look and Time came into the market. And then you refer to the mountain biking suspension system housed in the head tube of the bike. That was design work that we did for Cannondale. And that system was identified as the head shock, and it really drove Cannondale to market share leadership in mountain biking. And we did other work in mountain bikes as well, rear suspension technology, Kestrels, Rubicon Comp. We did that bike from head to tail, including our rear suspension system. Scott licensed our rear suspension technology as well. And all that preceded our involvement in fly fishing.
And you, are you guys still doing stuff in the bike world or not so much?
No, we didn't continue in the bike world. When we got involved in fly fishing, couple of things. It was all consuming if we were going to do it right. And it was a more attractive proposition in the end, although the bike world's a big world compared to fly fishing. We aren't a big company, and so we had to bring our ideas into the bike world primarily on a licensed intellectual property basis, which is not as profitable or as lucrative as being a branded manufacturer where you capture the entire margin. So
Right.
we shifted our focus to fly fishing in 1995, 96, and gave that our full attention, and it's been our full focus since then.
And so what, Ryan, I never, I'll be honest, I'm not clear. What is your title over at Waterworks? And did you start the company by yourself, or was there a couple of people, or how did that work?
My title is president. I have three active managing partners. Well, three including myself. One of whom is my brother, and the other is a fellow named Mark Saris. My brother is Michael Harrison. So Mark, Michael, and I founded this business, C1 Design, in 1995. Prior to that, Michael and Mark were working together in an entity called Square One Design, which was the precursor to C1 Design. I joined in 1995. We reformed the business as C1 Design. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, definitely. And so I know you guys got into fishing slash fly fishing with a tool that I think a lot of people, at least I remember it being a big deal back in the day, and I think it's still around, but it's called the Ketchum release, named after
Right.
I guess your hometown.
Ketchum,
So
Idaho.
curious,
Yeah.
how did it turn from that tool into reels, and do you guys still sell that tool?
Oh yeah, we still sell the tool. It's still a steady success, and it's kind of an interesting story. When we looked at getting involved in fly fishing, we knew that ultimately we would be involved in the reel category because that's the kind of thing that we know how to do. Mechanical devices, hard goods, that's our forte. So we were pointed towards the reel category from a development standpoint, but in the short term, we wanted to cherry pick some interesting ideas that we had that would be easy to do, quick to do, low cost to get into. And one of those was the catch and release tool. That was our very first product in fly fishing. And I had looked at the market and seeing that there was a product gap around the release of fish. You've got kind of a kludged together product array to release fish, none of which is good for the fish or particularly good for the fishermen or flies for that matter. right? Hemostats,
yeah.
Nets, etc. So I said to my partner Mark, who's our creative engine, you know, Mark is the guy who really does the invention and drives the design of our products. I said to Mark, hey, there's a gap in the market around this activity of releasing fish. From a product standpoint, see if you can figure out a solution. So literally, Mark spent a weekend locking himself in his bathroom with rubber fish in a bathtub and just didn't come out until he had the solution, which was the catch and release. And that was 1996.
So he put fish in the bathroom and just tried to figure in the bathtub and figured out a way to that, – that's how that tool came about.
That's literally how that tool came about. Mark spent,
awesome.
We call it the lost weekend, and he came out with catch and release, and we got it made in time for the first show that we attended, and that would have been, I'm going to say 1995. It could be, yeah, I think I'm right about that. It's not 1995, it's 96. We came to that first show with no other product. We had a 10-foot booth, and we had a steel tub with water and rubber fish in it, and we had, the setup of the catch and release, and demonstrated it, and that was our one and only product. But it was kind of a hit right out the gate, and it's been successful ever since.
Yeah, it's a great product. It's funny. I don't know why. No offense. I just haven't seen it in a little while, but it works really well, and I think it's one of the few things out there that you can release a fish with, you know, unharmed for the most part.
Right, exactly. It's good for the fish, and it doesn't damage the fly, and it's good all the way around. So that was our first product, and then we added a couple of other accessories in that same year. We had an innovative fly box called the Fly Trap. We had skin layer garments called Underwater Wear, and we just filled in these accessory lines on our way to designing our first fly reel, which we brought to market in 96, 97 under the Waterworks name. And that was our first Waterworks Force Design True Large Arbor reel. We still market that reel under the Waterworks name. It's now in its third generation. It's called the Force SL. It's always been the world's lightest machined reel, and it continues to be the world's lightest machined reel. It just keeps getting lighter each time we redesign it.
It's a great reel, actually. I own that reel and use it quite a bit.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the house favorite. It's our house, the house favorite here. It's not for everybody, it's not cheap, for one, and it's not what everybody expects a fly reel to look like. So for those two reasons, it's not for everybody, but then, we've endeavored to make reels, quality reels at all price points above $100 to allow people to, find a reel in our product line that'll work for them.
Go ahead.
I was going to say just the reel we started with back in 96 was the Waterworks Force reel.
Yeah, and to be honest, what drew me to you guys initially when I first started looking at your stuff however many years ago was the looks of the reels. I personally just like your design philosophy, whatever that might be. And it sounds like some people may not, but I think it's a really sweet look. But barring, their stunningly good looks, what sets your reels apart from other reels?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. It's what we do is product design. That's what sets us apart from other companies in the fly fishing industry. You just don't find product design firms concentrated in this particular category. You find manufacturers. You find machine shops, in the case of reels, designing and making reels. Or you find marketing companies that put their name on something that somebody else makes and somebody else designs. So ultimately, most fly reels, or I would say virtually all fly reels besides us, trace back to design being done at the level of manufacturing by machinists, almost literally, or in the case of many brands, very literally, being designed by machinists. Well, that drives not only design, but it drives aesthetics. our background is in industrial design, product design, whatever you want to call it. There's various terms for it, but it's its own discipline. And it describes and explains why our reels function differently, why the drag system is unique, why we have so few parts and such, you know, high level of mechanical simplicity, why we use different materials. It's where we come from that brings us to that kind of functionality in our design, but it also drives our aesthetic. And when when we design a product, we think of at least a couple of things to achieve. One is functional superiority. So whether it's a suspension system, a clipless pedal, or a fly reel, we're tearing things apart, starting with a clean sheet of paper and saying, how do we create a product that serves this function better than anything that's out there in the market? And we build it up from there. So that's the functional aspect. And that drives material choices, it drives physical weight, it drives structure, all of that. But the other piece of it is, how do we make this thing wind up to be, independent of function, something that establishes an emotional connection to something that people want to own? You know, this is a world we live in. We live in a world of choice. You know, why do you choose the car that you drive? Why do you choose the watch that you put on your arm, or the computer, you know, your laptop? There's an emotional content to all those choices that's aesthetic. And with fly reels, there's certainly that component. So, you know, we have our own aesthetic, and we bring that to the products very consciously. So
it definitely shows.
Yeah, I think so too. And thankfully, you know, when we came out with the Waterworks reel back in 1996, you could literally see people's heads explode. They had just not seen a reel that ever looked like that aesthetically. It was challenging, and it either worked for people or it didn't. Over the course of time, as we brought more designs to the market, some of which were more accessible, as people's aesthetic sensibilities evolved over time, they've seemed to appreciate our work more and more, thankfully. So, anyways, long answer to your question, but...
Well, in regards to that question, the final question I have is, do you guys have anything new coming down the pike that you can talk about, or, you know, changing specific models?
We do, on both the scores. You mentioned the ASL. We recently changed that design and brought it to its third generation. We recently brought changes to the Lightspeed reel, and now it's in its third generation. We're always working on new products. What's just around the corner, in fact, we're shipping next week a spay reel that's designed specifically for two-handed fishing and the challenges that come with that, line handling challenges, physical weight, capacity, all of that is embodied in this new reel that we call ARX, A-R-X. That reel is shipping, as I said, the first size next week. We have a new ultra-large arbor reel coming out in the fall we call Speed Freak. We established one of the design objectives we set when we came out with reels back in the mid to late 90s was to push the arbor ratios as much as people could aesthetically accept. get all the benefit of a true large arbor reel through ultra-large arbor diameter and therefore overall diameter of the reel. And you could only push that in 1996 to a certain point before people objected and said, well, that's too big to be a 5-weight or it's too big to be an 8-weight, right? There was a limit. Now we're pushing that limit again with the Speed Freak. It'll have, for any given line weight, a larger arbor diameter and a larger overall diameter than any reel we've made, and a somewhat narrower spool format as well. And it's a gorgeous reel. Yeah, it's a gorgeous reel. I call it our Ava Gardner. It's our curvy brunette in a tiny velvet dress, you know, aesthetically. And functionally, it's the fastest retrieve reel we've ever made. So that's around the corner. That's Speed Freak in the fall. We'll have an update to Conic, a version of Conic that looks $40 or $50 more expensive, although it won't be any more expensive at all than the current Conic. That's coming at the end of the year. And then we've got a full slate of stuff for 2013, 2014, exciting stuff that I can't talk about yet. But, you know, what drives us in this business is product development, innovation. So we're always working on stuff. There's never a shortage of cool things in the back room. We just, you know, the bottleneck is getting them designed and manufactured and out to the marketplace. The ideas are stacking up from the back room to the ceiling, you know.
Cool. Well, I definitely look forward to seeing some of that stuff, Ryan, and want to thank you again for taking the time today to talk to us.
Well, thanks for being interested, Tim. I appreciate it.